They both looked at the ornate silver sword, its rubied hilt glinting a little in the light from Hermione's wand.
"You reckon this is the real one?" asked Ron.
"One way to find out, isn't there?" said Harry.
The Horcrux was still swinging from Ron's hand. The locket was twitching slightly. Harry knew that the thing inside it was agitated again. It had sensed the presence of the sword and had tried to kill Harry rather than let him possess it. Now was not the time for long discussions. Now was the moment to destroy the locket once and for all. Harry looked around, holding Hermione's wand high, and saw the place, a flattish rock lying in the shadow of a sycamore tree.
"Come here," he said,
and he led the way, brushed snow from the rock's surface, and held out his hand for the Horcrux. When Ron offered the sword, however, Harry shook his head.
"No, you should do it."
"Me?"
said Ron, looking shocked.
"Why?"
"Because you got the sword out of the pool. I think it's supposed to be you."
He was not being kind or generous. As certainly as he had known that the doe was benign, he knew that Ron had to be the one to wield the sword. Dumbledore had at least taught Harry something about certain kinds of magic, of the incalculable power of certain acts.
"I'm going to open it," said Harry, "and you stab it. Straight away, okay? Because whatever's in there will put up a fight. The bit of riddle in the diary tried to kill me." "How are you going to open it?" asked Ron. He looked terrified.
"I'm going to ask it to open, using parcel tongue," said Harry.
The answer came so readily to his lips that he thought that he had always known it deep down. Perhaps it had taken his recent encounter with Nagini to make him realize it. He looked at the serpentine S, inlaid with glittering green stones. It was easy to visualize it as a minuscule snake curled upon the cold rock.
"No," said Ron. "No, don't open it. I'm serious."
"Why not?" asked Harry.
"Let's get rid of the damn thing. It's been months."
"I can't, Harry. I'm serious. You do it."
"But why?"
"Because that thing's bad for me," said Ron,
backing away from the locket on the rock.
"I can't handle it. I'm not making excuses, Harry, for what I was like, but it affects me worse than it affected you and Hermione. It made me think stuff. Stuff I was thinking anyway, but it made everything worse. I can't explain it. And then I'd take it off, and I'd get my head on straight again. And then I'd have to put the effing thing back on. I can't do it, Harry."
He had backed away, the sword dragging at his side, shaking his head.
"You can do it," said Harry. "You can. You've just got the sword. I know it's supposed to be you who uses it. Please, just get rid of it, Ron."
The sound of his name seemed to act like a stimulant. Ron swallowed, then, still breathing hard through his long nose, moved back toward the rock.
"Tell me when," he croaked.
"On three," said Harry, looking back down at the locket and narrowing his eyes, concentrating on the letter S, imagining a serpent, while the contents of the locket rattled like a trapped cockroach. It would have been easy to pity it, except that the cut around Harry's neck still burned.
"One, two, three, open!"
The last word came as a hiss and a snarl, and the golden doors of the locket swung wide with a little click. Behind both of the glass windows within blinked a living eye, dark and handsome as Tom Riddle's eyes had been before he turned them scarlet and slit-pupilled.
"Stab!"
said Harry, holding the locket steady on the rock. Ron raised the sword in his shaking hands. The point dangled over the frantically swiveling eyes, and Harry gripped the locket tightly, bracing himself, already imagining blood pouring from the empty windows.